Down to Business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
Now I'm here at the Irish Food Service Seminar, organised by Bord Bia. Few hundred people going to be here a bit later on today. I'm delighted to be joined by one of the speakers at the event. He's Dave Henkes, and he's a senior principal with a company called Technomic. Dave, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Dave, you better tell us about Technomic and what actually you do, first of all, because I have loads of questions for you.
Sure. We're a food service research and consulting company. We're based out of Chicago, been around since 1966, and really what we do is help suppliers, restaurant and food service operators make smarter decisions, and so we do menu research, consumer research, all sorts of global research to help help make decisions.
Okay, so this is a really interesting space because effectively what you do is you study and you monitor world food service trends. You're here today to look at and to discuss some of your findings in the Irish food market. But before we come to that, I'd just like to ask you about some global food trends. What's happening in America at the moment?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. In the States, the economy is good. Consumers seem very confident with the direction that the economy is heading. And yet the food service industry is fairly mature and the growth has stagnated a little bit. And so what we're faced with is an environment where operators are challenged with rising costs. And at the same time, sales and revenue are not increasing. And so they're increasingly trying to find better and different ways to bring consumers in to increase traffic. So it's a little bit of a challenging time, which is sort of is in contradiction to what the economy is doing right now.
Okay. And again, I worked in the American food market for a number of years. It's a really interesting space. What kind of things are happening? Like, the Americans were always great to eat out. They're quite traditional. Some of the concepts now, as you say, are quite mature. Is there any kind of new phenomenons? They've got all the different ethnic cuisines because obviously it's an ethnic melting pot of various cultures. But what is there anything there that's sort of standing out with you as being a new trend?
Well, I think when you look at what's going on, you know, the thing that we've been tracking for the last couple of years is fast casual, upscale fast food. That has started to mature a little bit, but that's still growing high single digits. But I think a couple of the things that we're tracking that we're seeing globally as well are things like third-party delivery, whether it's Uber Eats, Deliveroo here, you know, as a great example, but Grubhub, others that deliver food from restaurants. That's a huge growth space, and operators, as they're faced with a challenge in bringing consumers into the restaurant, are increasingly using these services to bring food to the consumer.
Okay, can I just ask you about that?
Sure,
for a second? Because the impact of that on, a traditional food business, these customers that are you know, Uber customers or Deliveroo customers, are they new customers? Do they tend to be bolt-on sales, or are they the same customers eating a different way?
Sure, and that's the real question, isn't it? Whether it's cannibalizing existing sales. And what most operators will tell you is that it's a bolt-on. It is not cannibalizing. And so it's a great way to grow incremental sales. You're not driving away the dine-in consumer, but you're able to reach some new consumers that you otherwise wouldn't have reached. And so a lot of operators say that this has been a great way to grow sales in an environment that's been challenging.
Okay, all right. So that's the delivered food business. Again, just staying with America for the moment. What about healthy eating? Are you seeing trends there? Have portion sizes got any smaller? Is there?
No. I would say, generally speaking, and healthy is one of those things where we've seen a long term, it's more of an evolution rather than a revolution, right, in terms of healthy eating. And I think the way consumers are defining healthy has changed. And this is really not just in the States, but a global trend where it's all about natural. It's all about real. Consumers aren't as worried about calorie counts. They're not as worried about fat content. They're worried about where the food is made, what's in it. How natural is it? Are there chemicals or other non-real ingredients in it? And so that's really what we're seeing. Things could be an 800-900 pound burrito, or eight 900 calorie burrito, not pounds. It could be 800-900 pounds too, but 800-900 calorie burrito, and people will view that as healthy because it's got all natural ingredients in it. And so I think, consumers have changed the way they're looking at their diet to try and include more natural, fresh ingredients into their diet.
Okay, now you've done some research for Bord Bia for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. so you're relatively comfortable and you're knowledgeable about the Irish market. What are the things you're seeing this year in your research?
Well, I think when you look at what's going on in Ireland, you know, first of all, the economy is doing well, and as a result, the food service industry is doing phenomenally well. And I'll note that we look at both Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and you know, we've seen some uptick in the north as well. But you know, certainly the Republic seems to be firing on all cylinders in terms of growth. You know, almost 6% growth in consumer spend year on year. And, you know, things like, you know, fast casual and coffee shops are doing phenomenally well. The grab and go takeaway business is really exploding in Ireland, and we're seeing a lot of positive growth in that way.
So does that say, because like our population growth isn't like the food, the growth in food service exceeds the growth in population. Mm-hmm. So that must tell us that somebody is losing out here.
Well, I think when you look at it, the share of occasions, and you know, we didn't look at the retail channel specifically, but I would say, you know, certainly consumers are eating out more today than they were 3 or 5 years ago. And I think you see a change in a lot of the retailers, the Spars of the world and others that are converting a lot of their former retail space into a food service. And we would define a lot of those grab-and-go spaces, you know, the prepared sandwiches for takeaway, things like that as a food service. And if you look, you know, down a lot of retailers, they're putting a lot of that type of space in. And so, you know, even the retailers recognize that sort of that traditional grocery, you know, while it's still doing well, they're dedicating more space to, quote unquote, food service, because that's the way the consumer is going.
Yeah, and even you're seeing some of the big retailers, some of the big department stores wanting to increase dwell time. So if there is a food and beverage facility as part of a, you know, a fashion shop or whatever it is, it allows, it allows the retailer to get an additional rent and spend, longer dwell time, and also offer another service to their customer.
Yeah, so I think, you know, coffee kiosks, coffee shops, or, you know, having a small sandwich or pastry area within a retailer has done phenomenally well in terms of increasing that dwell time and just driving some incremental revenue to the store.
You say you looked at North and South Ireland. Did you look at or did you ask any of the Brexit questions?
Well, we did, and you know, Brexit certainly is on the mind of most food service operators. But I think the challenge is nobody really knows what to do about it, right? Yeah. It's one of these things where you know, the details are still very much in flux, and so while a lot of companies acknowledge that it could have an impact on their business, they're not really sure what. And so for a lot of restaurant operators, food service suppliers, food service distributors, it's still business as usual. There's some scenario planning. They're trying to figure out what could happen. But, you know, it's still one of those things where they don't know. They're, you know, the two big concerns are really cost increases and a hard border. And, you know, those are the two things that they are mostly doing scenario planning around. What happens if our costs increase, if we're, you know, sourcing things from the UK, or what happens with, you know, where we can source things, and what happens if there's a hard border in terms of bringing goods across from the north or from the UK. And so, but it's really still too early to tell.
It's unlikely that that Brexit is going to affect any food trends.
Well, no, I don't think Brexit's going to impact food trends. I think, you know, the other thing that it could occur, you know, the single biggest source of tourism to Ireland is the UK, and there's some concern that it could impact that. But I think in terms of how people eat, where they eat, I don't think Brexit really has that kind of impact on the food service industry.
Yeah, and we are seeing, I suppose, a change in the mix in our tourists. We are seeing a fall in the UK visitors. We're seeing an increase in our US visitors, and even places like Australia. And I know they're small markets, but if they increase, they could make a difference.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, and if you sort of take a step back and look at the food service industry, it's increasingly global. And so as these, you know, new tourists come in, they're bringing demands, they're bringing expectations from their home country. And so that just serves to globalize the Irish market even more and bring some new trends and new thinking into the market.
And then finally, Dave, is there anything that Irish consumers of food need to look out for? Or is there anything that you see happening in the next couple of years that will impact the way we consume food?
Well, I think, you know, the big thing that we were looking at, and I mentioned it earlier with the delivery, I think that's something that is really just in its nascency here. It's really just starting to come on the scene. A lot of restaurants are not set up for delivery yet, or these third-party deliveries. And I think you know, that's going to be a big change in how consumers eat, because, you know, a lot of these delivery companies like Deliveroo and others are targeting dinner day parts, but also lunch day parts. They're targeting offices for dinner or for catered events. I think the delivery piece, third-party delivery or food to go, you know, those types of things are really going to dramatically change how and where people eat here in Ireland.
Okay, well, that's Dave Henkes, Senior Principal at Technomic. Thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Down to business on Newstalk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.